You can visit our website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Now, here's a question for you. What's the connection between this woman?
What about your husband, Mrs. Brown?
What do you mean, Betty?
Well, when did you realise you loved him?
Love? 5 or 6 months, I'd say, now after he died.
And this man. Oh, that was Ollie Moores, in case you didn't know. And what's the connection between him and Mrs. Brown? Well, absolutely none. No connection whatsoever, as far as we know. But right now, we're going to make a connection, whether they like it or not. Because recently, I had two people in the studio talking about the art of songwriting. One of them was Ryan Sheridan, who had a song featured in the movie Mrs. Brown's Boys. The other, Carl Broderick, who has just come back from Los Angeles, where he was writing with Ollie Moores. So the connection is this very programme. And in a couple of minutes, we'll hear what the two boys have to say, Carl and Ryan.
My name is Ali, nice to meet you, can I tell you, baby? Look around, there's a whole lot of pretty ladies, but none like you, you shine so bright. Yeah, I was wondering if you and me could spend a minute on the floor up close, getting lost in it. I won't give up without a fight. I just wanna, ooh, oh baby, I just want you to dance with me tonight. So come on, ooh, oh baby, I just want you to dance with me tonight. We're getting sweaty, hot and heavy in the crowd now, and loosen up and let your hands go down. Girl, yeah, just close your eyes, yeah. I feel the music moving through your body. Looking at you, I can tell you want me. Don't stop, keep going till the morning light. Yeah, when I saw you there, sitting all alone in the dark, acting like you didn't have a care. I knew right then you'd be mine. Come on now.
Anyway, Carl, you're just back from LA. What were you doing there?
I was out in LA doing some songwriting.
What do you mean doing some songwriting? You can write songs at home. Why did you go to LA to write songs?
Oh, well, you have to go and try write with people who are experienced. So I was writing with some very cool people. One guy I was writing with has had his last song by Flo Rida. I think it was number one in 85 countries. His name is Marcus Killian. And it's a kind of song called, like, you know, I'm gonna blow my whistle, baby.
So, oh yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I don't really know that one. Who's the guy? What's the guy's name?
Flo Rida, who had a hit with it.
Oh, I see. Right, and
do you know Flo Rida?
No, I don't. Who's Flo Rida?
He's kind of a pop star.
Where?
He'd be.
I mean, is he
85?
He's in the Irish charts.
I think that particular song was number one in about 80 countries, and I don't know whether it was number one in Ireland, but I think there'd be a few people now who'd know. I bet one day he'll be driving by and he'd be like playing sort of like the Aviva Stadium or something like that. He'd probably...
Yeah, subject to planning permission, needless to say. Yeah. But at any rate, I mean, you were also with Ollie Moores. Now, I know who Ollie Moores is.
Yeah, he's actually great. He's a great guy. So, yeah, it was actually through Ollie's tour manager that I was... out there with Ollie, so that was great.
So is he recording a new album? He's had three to date. Has he done another one?
Yeah, his fourth album, and he's going in a new direction. So it's going to be great. Yeah,
because the rumor has it that he's recording the movie song.
No, that's the rumor you're spreading, Derek.
Well, is he recording the movie song?
No.
Why not?
Do you know the weirdest thing is about the movie song? Ollie started singing the movie song to me the very first few moments I met him. And then he turned around and he said, the only line I didn't like in the movie song was the groovy line. You know, I want to say that it's groovy because no one says that anymore. And everybody else in the whole wide world, it's the one line they've hooked onto. And it just made me thought, if Ollie had got hold of that song before it was released, would I have gone with changing it? And it's quite an interesting... As a songwriter, it's quite a... I think pressure would have made me change it. And it's definitely the line. You know, when we did the whole promo for the movie song, like from everybody, from like Ian Dempsey, Pat Kenny to yourself, all commented on that line.
Yes, get it afterwards. Out, I said.
Get it out.
No, it was an interesting line in the song.
Yeah, and I liked it and was, you know...
But is he going to record it, yes or no? That's the question. I mean, it didn't make it to the Eurovision, it came second, I don't want to remind you, but it did. But is he going to record it?
I'm not at liberty to say at this moment in time.
So he might be recording it.
Well, he doesn't like the groovy line, and do I take out the groovy line?
Well, when how much say does a songwriter have when it comes to dealing with a big name?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you have to. Everything's a compromise. Everything's a compromise. I mean, there are people out there who, to get in the studio with a big name, you know, you have to sort of see the... I remember actually Dolly Parton saying that Elvis wanted to record I Will Always Love You, but he wanted his name to go on it as the sole writer, and she wouldn't let it happen. And everybody told her she was crazy at the time. She was guaranteed a huge hit. And she wouldn't let it happen. And a few years later, she had a hit with herself. And then obviously Whitney had a hit with it then, about 15 years later after that. So yeah, it's always a kind of a compromise,
so
I guess.
So we've got to watch this space. Maybe he will. Anyway, say hello to Ryan Sheridan, Carl Broderick. Ryan Sheridan,
Carl,
there you are.
Ryan, how are you?
Because Carl's a bit of a fan of yours, you
see. I am a fan
of
Ryan.
Great, thank you very much.
I was filling Derek in on who, all about you.
Oh yeah. Derek, come on then.
Well, I know you were in Riverdance all those years ago, because as it happens, we were there.
Oh,
when it opened
there.
On Broadway, yeah. I made a documentary about it, so tell the people what you were doing.
Yeah, I was a dancer. By the age of 15, I joined Riverdance. But I started touring when I was 16. And I toured for 3 or 4 years, maybe, on the road. So you're touring for a full year, basically. You're home 2 weeks at Christmas, mm-hmm. and then you're back out again. So we've done that for 4 years. And then we moved to Broadway in 2000.
And how old were you then?
In Broadway, yeah. I was 19 or 18 or 19.
That must have been some buzz. I mean, there you are, on Broadway.
It was crazy, yeah. It was absolutely crazy because I had my own apartment and I go on the road. I like being on the road. I like the tour and I like meeting new people. I like going out and seeing different places. But when it stopped in New York, it was kind of strange because I had to get my own apartment, which is empty. So you had to buy your fridge, your you know, bits and bobs, you know, your phone bills and everything. You know, at 18, it's
That's
a bit strange.
Huge,
you know?
At 18.
Absolutely.
In the middle of, you know, middle of New York. So it was kind of...
And were you looked after? Well, I mean, were you guys paid accordingly? Because it's not a cheap place to live.
We were, yeah. No, we were, I have to say now, we were. But, you know, you just got to look after yourself and get on with it. And you grow up pretty quick when you're on the road, you know. So, and that's basically what happened.
And what do you remember about the opening night? I remember sitting next to Dr. Ruth.
I was going to say that. I was going to say, Derek's emphasised
Dr.
Tiny
little
Ruth.
Woman. I said, she looked very familiar. The sex therapist. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know who
Dr.
she is.
Ruth wasn't, all right. I can't really remember much about it. Well, I can remember the party afterwards. which, remember the big,
yes,
the big
Liam Neeson was there. There was all sorts of Hollywood greats.
Lash and Rain. It was. I remember it.
I remember that as well. We all got bussed over to the venue, and there was a big red carpet. And
I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, they did it in style. I have to hand
they
it
did.
To them.
It was in a massive, big old bank. I can't remember the name of it.
I mean, the great and good of the expats, the Irish community from the world of film and television and business, were there on the night.
Yeah.
How long did it last on Broadway? How long were you with them for there?
2 years, I think it was.
And were you there for the full 2 years?
I was.
And what did you do when you weren't on stage?
That's when I started playing music. So that's when I started really getting into playing music and starting to really write. And, you know, when you're in such a melting pot like New York, you kind of have to, and you're such a young age, you have to kind of find a way to channel it, you know. So that's, I got
so prior to that, you were just a dancer. I don't mean just a dancer, but that's what you were doing.
Yeah, I never really started playing music. I only playing little bits on the guitar and playing in the hotel rooms and at parties or whatever. And then I started writing songs in the toilets.
Yeah.
In the toilets of the Gershwin Theatre is when I started. So
good acoustics.
That was a good acoustics, yeah. So that's where it started for me in there. So
yeah. the reason we wanted to do it today.
Lovely place to start.
I went to see Mrs. Brown's Boys, the movie, a few weeks ago, and there was a terrific scene in the movie, a very poignant moment in the scene where Mrs. Brown has kind of gone AWOL and the whole family are out looking for her, and then Jenny, the daughter, finds him on the Halfpenny Bridge, pretty much. They're walking over the Halfpenny Bridge.
Finds her.
And they're having a little chat together on the Halfpenny Bridge. Yeah. And this beautiful song is playing in the background. And I said, that is the most wonderful song. And it turns out it's your song. And it is, we're going to hear it in a moment, but great. Just a wonderful song. So tell me how you came to having the song in Mrs. Brown's Boys, the movie.
It was Brendan that approached me about it. And I went down and met Mrs. Brown in the back of Muir Street in her caravan. And we sat down and he just gave me the script and just said, listen, I'm looking for a part right here. I'm just looking for a little bit of a song for it, you know. So I didn't know what to expect, what kind of a scene it was, because it's a funny movie, you know, obviously. Took it home, looked over it, and I just came up with this song about home and give it to him, and he loved it. And I just took it off from there.
Everybody in the audience, like, there wasn't a dry eye in the house on the night. I've seen the movie now 3 times, actually, as it happens. We saw it at the night of the premiere. And it was one of those moments in the movie that just stopped everything dead in its tracks.
Ah, great.
And then changed gear and off it went again. But the song was really perfect. So what's it about exactly?
Well, I just took it. I know that part is very emotional. And it's about thinking about your family. And when people go to see the movie, that's what it's about. It's about family and stuff. So I just took it from there, and I sat down and I had that little riff in my head, and I went with it. And then I thought about being away from home as well and missing family as well, and then I just took it from there, and how important family was when you're away from home and stuff like that, and I just went with it.
But there's been a video made with all sorts of famous people talking about missing home.
Yeah, that was the plan. We just sat down after I was recording the second album, and we were taking a break, and then I said, I'm going to make a video for this, because it was, I didn't know whether the song was going to be played in a laundromat on a radio or what it was, you know. But it was you know, a pretty significant part in the movie. So I said, I'm going to make a video for it as well. And I just got on to everybody on Facebook, all my friends, and I got on to other friends and stuff, everybody that was away, and they all sent in videos.
Saoirse Ronan is in it.
Saoirse Ronan's in it, yeah.
Niall Horan is in it.
Niall's in it, yeah. I just got on to it.
And you know them all? Are you very pally with all these people?
I'm pally with most of them. And then a friend of mine got on to the next Niall, and I don't know Niall personally, or and Saoirse, so.
Mm.
But Robbie Keane and
that's right, Robbie's in
Paul
it too.
McGrath
and tell me, how long did it take you to write the song? And what advice can you give Carl?
Well, Carl. No, I had the little riff and I just went with it, and it was kind of easier for me to kind of work towards.
Yeah, but you can have the riff, and that sounds fantastic, but getting the lyrics right, well, that's on scale.
Sometimes it works easier for me. If I work towards a project, I can do it easier, kind of in a few days. And then if it's something a little bit more personal, it could take a year to write a song, you know.
And I think sometimes the song isn't actually finished until you're actually in front of a microphone. And then it's laid down where it could nearly be changing the night before, and nearly changing words, and until it literally gets laid down.
Yeah, and even at that, with my new stuff, am I playing it? I'm going out and it's all trial and error, so I'm playing them at gigs and seeing if it works at gigs. And if it doesn't work at gigs, I kind of go back to the drawing board. And that's what I used to do when I was busking.
Mm.
If people weren't in front of me, the sound didn't work.
No,
so I had to go back and work at it until they were there. So
I was going to say that's where you were discovered. It's kind of true, isn't it? Your current manager,
yeah,
Brian Whitehead, isn't it? He saw you busking on Grafton Street, isn't it?
Yeah.
But before we get into all of that kind of stuff, so Dara's with you on keyboards.
Yeah, yeah,
so
Darren Sweeney.
Yeah, Darren Sweeney. So introduce the song and we'll hear it.
Okay. This is the song Home, and I hope you enjoy it. 1, 2.
Too high and the sun will burn your wings. It's all I know. Fly too high and burn your wings.
Beautiful song, and you're going to hear another song in just a moment, but I was saying before that song that you were discovered on Grafton Street. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was one day I was heading home from I was out busking and I was going to head home because it was lashing rain, and I decided I'd stay on for an extra hour. So I went up to this little spot that was free and sat down, myself and the cajon player that was playing with me at the time. And we played on for an extra hour and got a bit of a crowd and all that kind of stuff. And it was great crack. So at the end, I was taking all my hundreds and hundreds of pounds into my pocket. And I seen this card, little card, just said, ring me on the back of it. So I rang him and it just took off from there.
Really? So Brian just dropped a...
Just a card, ring me on the back of it. And okay. I knew his name. So I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what he was going to, you know, maybe it was a gig or maybe it was, you know, I don't know what it was. Or
explain who Brian is.
Brian's my manager. Brian is a... I don't know even... Where is he?
He's out there somewhere.
Is he out there somewhere? Mm.
Brian say nice things.
Brian's a really big actor now.
Yes, he was a Mrs. Brown.
He was a Mrs. Brown. Boys,
one of the gangsters.
One of the gangsters, yeah. Really big actor. But yeah, no, I'm delighted the way it happened, so... Yeah. I'm delighted.
And you've been on the Late Late Show a few times and things just seem to be going right for you.
It's been going really, really well, you know. I've been over in Germany for a while as well. That's why my second album hasn't been out, because what happened was I released the first album and after 2 years, while I was writing the second album, Germany took a hold of the first album and released it in Germany. So I had to tour it again over in Germany. So that's why it's been
What do you mean
so
Germany
long.
Took hold of it?
Universal Germany heard the album and they wanted to release it in Germany.
Oh, I see.
On the third year.
So are you signed to Universal here in Ireland?
No, I'm saying Ruby works in Ireland.
And then a different record label in Germany?
In Germany.
And you're with Universal in Australia, is that true?
Yeah. So that's just happened the past 2 weeks.
Well, congratulations
well,
on
thanks
that.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Is that big for you? Is that really big for
it's
you?
It's huge, yeah. I just can't wait, you know. I just can't. I love touring, so I can't wait to get over. I can't wait to just, you know, get in over in Australia and just tour away. And I love playing live. It's the best thing for me, you know.
Absolutely. What's the biggest gig you've played to date alone?
The biggest gig alone.
In your own right, I mean.
Well, I played when Barack Obama was over, and that was kind of...
On College Green.
On College Green. That was a huge thing for me, but...
And you played the Aviva and Croke Park, is that true?
Yeah.
Well, what was that for?
Right. That was a crazy day.
On the same day, what was it for?
On the same day. Well, the Croke Park was the All-Ireland Final, Kerry Dublin. And then over in the Aviva for... What was the Aviva for? It was a big charity event over...
On the same day.
On the same day. So that was
clearly
crazy.
At different times, I take it.
Crazy time.
Anyway, you're going to play one more song for us. Ryan Sheridan, thank you very much.
Thanks
indeed.
For having me, Derek. Cheers.
A storm, a breath like a cloud in the morning sun. Soles of my feet battered and torn. I've been walking all night. From dusk till dawn, but you've never been far from my mind. I've been looking, but I can't find someone like you. I turn this world upside down in search of the truth. Is it me who dropped this flame on the ground? We were close, but yet so far. But my heart hasn't kissed your scar. Your face on a girl I don't know. Seems you're everywhere that I want to go. I can't find my way out. I'm stuck in this box. I've been looking for doors. I keep finding locks. But you've never been far from my mind. I've been looking, but I can't find someone like you.
held upside down in search of the truth. Is it me who dropped this flame on the ground? We were close, but yet so far. But my heart has encased your scar. Close, but yet so far. But my heart hasn't kissed your scar.
Very nice stuff. Recorded last week, Carl Broderick and Ryan Sheridan. Do you like Ryan Sheridan,
Blonde? His voice is absolutely gorgeous. Very sexy.
Very sexy indeed. Mm. I remember Ryan Buskey on Grafton Street, one of our listeners, says, one of the few brave enough to play his own stuff. Always loved him, says Anya. Actually, she's right. Mm-hmm. You get onto Grafton Street, all those covers. How people make a living doing covers, I do not know. I mean, do you think they come up with something original and do their own stuff? I mean, they're good musicians. You can't. They're good. But they go down there and they sing that. Remember at one stage, the most hated song in the world, those Gallagher brothers, what was the name of that?
Oasis, the ones, yeah.
Oh, for heaven's
actually,
sake, Wonderland.
Oasis concert was on last night on
or
Sky.
Or Thunderland or whatever they called it.
On Sky, Sky Arts, and it sounded absolutely awful, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, I know, covers, but that's confidence. Ryan is obviously very confident.
He's very good. Beautiful song, another listener says. A real Paul Brady influence, methinks. Kind regards, says Michael.